Okay, so we're back in session. This is part two of our healing school. And in part two, we have Gail and Raymond Winter are going to be talking to us about the wounded soul, how soul wounds affect our health. And Raymond and Gail live here in Borger, and they've been married nearly 39 years. Gail has taught word training classes for many years and has written several books. What's the name of the first book? Nuclear Prayers That Blast the Devil. And then you have a spiritual warfare weapons of our warfare.
Spiritual weapons handbook.
We forgot to tell her to bring them to show you guys, but they are amazing books. I mean, if you don't have one, you have got to get a copy. And you can get them on Amazon. So definitely you need to get those. So Raymond also assists Gail in many ways to keep her glued together, and I can certainly relate to that. As they travel and minister throughout the United States, I know Gail has done many women's conferences and speaks all over. So recently God has placed within Raymond a strong gift of faith, which often manifests in healings and miracles. They founded Speak His Word Ministries in 2009. So here is Raymond and Gail Winter.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you very much. Wasn't little Miss Laura great earlier? I saw her grow up. She grew up with my daughter, basically. And it's so fun to see that we're basically on the same journey, just in a little different part of the tree. So anyway, we're going to talk this evening about the wounded soul. And before we start, I'd like to ask Raymond to pray.
Father, we just glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for being our God. We thank you, Lord, for the healing school. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus being our healer. We thank you, Lord, that you sent him and that he paid the price. So we thank you for it, Father. We glorify you in it. We thank you that as we learn your word, that as we understand your word, that as we understand how it all works together with the physical body, the soul area, the spirit, we thank you, Lord, that as we learn that we will become more like Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, that he is our perfect picture, and we want to be just like him. So we glorify you in it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Boy, I just agree with Laura so much that you can do everything right. You can exercise. You can eat right. You can make a lot of money. You can, you know, even look like you're healthy on the outside. But if you've got all of these things below the surface, like it's on the chart there, you have resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, and all that, it will eventually manifest. It will somehow. And sometimes it can be as insignificant, if you want to call it that way, as a rash. But sometimes it may manifest as cancer, diabetes, many things like that. Now, I'm not trying to put fear on anybody, but to emphasize that it's very important to take care of your soul. So let's get started. And as I do, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Do you ever feel like your prayers are just not making any difference? I mean, you pray and you pray about some things. You maybe even are praying the word, which is what I emphasize in Speak His Word Ministries, praying the word. You know, you're always praying in line with the will of God. You know, but you don't get any answers. Nothing seems to change in the situations you're talking about. Do you struggle with sicknesses? Maybe it seems like it's one thing after another. I hear that repeatedly from so many people. I just got over this, and now I got that, and then I got this back. And, you know, or some people have just repetitive, just constant financial difficulties. It seems like no matter the opportunities they've been given and so forth, they just cannot get ahead, can't seem to be successful. Some people have just one failed relationship after another. So these are all symptoms that we have soul wounds in our soul. And we're going to talk about more what that is. But if you are asking, you know, where is the victory? Where is the victory? You know, God, I love you. I've, you know, if I've repented, I know I'm in right standing with you. But you need to start examining some things that aren't so obvious, maybe. Let's get down to the root cause of some things. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Because if you answered yes to any of those questions I ask you, it's just a prime indicator that we have soul wounds. And let me give you in on a secret. Every single one of us do. Every one of us do. Can I just go so far as to say every one of us is a mess? We are all a mess to a different degree or another. And sometime our son-in-law, Michael, will come and teach some freedom series. You will not want to miss those. Some of the most incredible teachings you will ever experience, and you will learn to be free. But it's so important that you peel your onion. In other words, you can't deal with everything all at one time, or you'd go berserk. You can't deal with that. What you do is you learn to hear God and say, God, what do I need to do to fix this situation? And you peel that layer of the onion. And then, you know, you think, whew, and then all of a sudden, you know, Lord says, what? We need to work on this. And so you work on that and you peel that onion just a little bit further. That's how gentle and how loving and kind our Savior is. He doesn't do it in a harsh way that you're going to be, that you have to be afraid to open this can of worms, so to speak. Be excited to do that, because when you are well, spirit, soul, and body, you will see that every area of your life will line up. So look at your papers, and let's go through that first question. Question number one: if you are constantly struggling with your health, your finances, or your relationships, your soul is wounded. Soul wounds are the primary cause or reason that battles are rarely won. And you just keep going around the same mountain over and over. Okay? I mean, you're trying hard. You want to. But I'm telling you, Michael's been teaching us in our Sunday night classes that these things don't come by willpower. It is much more than willpower. We resolve to, we want to, we have good goals, we aspire to do the right thing, and yet we'll read a scripture here in a minute, it just doesn't happen. We keep going back to the same bad habits and so forth and so on, and we're going to find out tonight. So before we go any further, we're going to discuss what a soul wound is. So, to do that, let me start with the definition of the term wound. What is a wound? Okay, we're not even talking soul right now. Wounds are injuries or sores on our body, usually sustained in like an accident or a fall of some kind. There are many ways we can injure ourselves, right? I mean, you can cut yourself shaving, you know, or you can have a horrific car accident or whatever. There's different degrees of that. But medically speaking, wounds involve a separation of the tissue. So keep that in mind. Whereas bruising, you know, there's not an open wound. But I'm telling you, when there's a separation in your tissue spiritually, things happen. It's very deep, the things that soul wounds do to us. So we know that if wounds, depending on their degree, are not properly managed or promptly taken care of, they soon become infected and maybe even malignant or gangrene, various different things, right? So these wounds can cause sickness or disability. Sometimes they can even cause death, can't they? I know in the case of diabetes and the lack of circulation, people have body parts amputated. You know, I mean, horrific things. So, but we are, man, is the three-part being. Is that correct? We are spirit, soul, and body. So if the body can be wounded, can our soul be wounded too? It most definitely can be. So the soul can be wounded just like the body can be wounded physically, only these soul wounds are not evident from the outside, are they? And we find ourselves all putting on a mask, don't we? We wear all kinds of masks and hide the soul wounds. the things that have really hurt us. Now, let me ask you another question. What have you done with the painful things you've experienced in your past? And have you ever stopped to think how they might be influencing you today? Some of us have had terrible tragedies. Probably most all of us have had terrible tragedies, losing a loved one through sickness or any number of things, okay? So the question is, what are you doing about them? What have you done about them? And what should you do about them, right? Now, we may try to forget pain. This is going to be a number three, so you might want to fill in there. We may try to forget painful memories and move on. But the truth is, everybody say, the truth is, the problem lives on deep inside, affecting how we relate to God, how we relate to others, and how we relate to ourselves in the ways that we don't even realize. Okay, anxiety. This is number four. Are you ready to go on? Have you finished? Okay, anxiety, depression, addiction, and chronic relationship problems usually have roots in a history of being rejected, abused, or growing up in a dysfunctional family. Now, if I'm going too fast, please raise your hand. Let this be interactional. Okay, where do you need me to go? Number three, possibly? Four. Three? Okay, let's go back to three. We may try to forget painful memories and move on. But the truth is, the problem lives deep inside us, affecting how we relate to God, others, and ourselves in ways that we may not realize. Well, in fact, I can tell you, we don't realize. Okay, number four, anxiety, depression, addiction, and chronic relationship problems. I mean, not ever able to get along with anybody. Always being offended. That's what I mean by constant, chronic relationship problems. Usually have their history of being rejected, abused, or growing up in a dysfunctional family. Okay? Which one do you want? You want number one? We can do that. Let me go back there. Okay. Number one is if you are struggling with your health, your finances, or your relationships, your soul is wounded. Soul wounds are the primary reason that battles are rarely won, and you keep going around the same mountain over and over again, and you never seem to be able to grab on to the answer to the victory. You must stop and evaluate your situation and just ask God, what is going on? And if you sit and be quiet and listen, you will hear God. And that's what Michael has been teaching us to do on Sunday nights. It's simply hearing God. Hearing God. We have to learn to, we all think, oh, I can't hear God. I don't know why God. You would if you just sit down and be quiet. Ask him and be quiet. He will show you plainly. God is not trying to hide stuff from us. He wants us to have answers. He loves us. Okay, so we need to learn how to ask God. Okay, so we're done through four. Is that correct? All right. Now, common problems, number five. Common problems like insecurity, anxiety, self-condemnation, or even chronic tiredness may also be related to wounds or conflicts of the past that we haven't healed from. Number six, even physical problems, ranging from serious illnesses to common headaches, which some people, it may be an everyday thing, but it's a horrific thing, may be caused in part by internalized stress. There's something that is just, they're burying, they're causing pressure, does many times manifest in high blood pressure, things like that. Okay, stress and repressed emotion. You're pushing down that emotion. And we find, of course, men seem to be more prone to do that because they're not as feely-meely as women are and expressive in their emotions usually and so forth. And it isn't known to be as manly to be, you know, to show your feelings. And so they repress those feelings. But it does not mean they have any less of a soul wound from the way they're feeling, and they've repressed that. So most believers suffer from soul wounds that keep them from living to the full potential that God has placed within them. Soul wounds are the primary reason that deliverances fail, or why we keep going in circles. We can have all the right motives and go to deliverance, but if you don't go through the entire process of deliverance, and like Sarah's group do, and get to the core of the reason behind that, then you're sort of spinning your wheels. Would you say that's a good description? So, now, let me ask you this. Have you ever been lied to? Have you ever been cheated on? Have you ever been raped or molested, beaten either physically or mentally abused? I mean, just downright offended. You have soul wounds. If you live in this world today, you have soul wounds. See, it's not just the world, though, that offends us. I'm sorry to say, you'll get offended in church. I'm sorry, but your family will offend you, and you will offend your family. That's just the way it is, right? We are not Jesus yet, all right? So we will never be Jesus, but I mean, you know, we're not perfect. Oh, please don't write me letters. Anyway, okay. So all of these soul wounds that not only affect us mentally and emotionally, but can manifest physically as well, all right? So look at number 7. Number 7 says, hurting people hurt people. That's a profound statement. I'm telling you, honey, if you've ever been hurt, I can promise you, you've been hurting other people. It's just truth. Yes, darling? I probably didn't get that far. Okay. How we respond. This is the last of number 6. How we respond to the painful situations of life is a big deal. Now, I want you to write big in capital letters. It is a big deal. And it's only recently that people have begun to talk about that to the extent that it is so important. It's a very big deal because we must deal with it if we're ever going to be whole. Ever. Okay? Thank you, darling. I appreciate you reminding me of that. Okay. So now we're at number 7. See, it's like a cancer. It grows and grows and spreads when we get offended. It doesn't just affect us. It affects everybody around us. It probably ends up affecting your whole family or maybe your whole workplace, because we're pretty expressive. Us girls are, for sure, right? Okay. So now, I want you to think, how many times a day are you offended? I mean, good grief. We can't get out of the house in the morning without being offended at our spouse or them being offended at us because we didn't look right. Or if you have kids, oh my gosh, you know. And then you got to deal with traffic, you know, and trains, you know, trains and all that good stuff. So, you know, it's impossible to live in this world without getting offended, except that you can learn how not to internalize that. And if you keep your heart right, of course, I'm perfect and I know exactly how to do this. You know, you can learn to let it go easier. You can practice. You can make it a goal to let it go. That's a hard thing, isn't it? Because we feel like they've done us wrong. And dadgummit, I'm going to make them suffer for a little while. And that's where we really get in trouble. Okay? So, how impatient and aggravated are you at your spouse? How many times a day? Maybe he doesn't call you when he should or be home when he should. I mean, any number of things. We are just constantly being offended. So let's go back to number 7. Hurting people hurt people. This causes a cycle of soul wounds within everyone involved. You hurt me, I'll hurt you, then you hurt me again, I'll hurt. I mean, we try not to be so unchristian-like. And so we don't really verbalize that, but hurting people hurt people. And many times, whoever you happen to be around is going to get it. Right? And so think of how many times a day you are offended. So that's the last of number 7. Okay, so now let's talk about where we are wounded and what that means. So, let's just go to number 8. Where are we wounded? Well, it's not in our spirits, because they were made perfect the instant we were born again. Right? Our spirit is perfect. And it's not in our bodies. I'm not talking about physical sickness, even though we'll find out that the soul wounds cause sickness and disease. I mean, when somebody offends you, don't suddenly have a big old scar on your face, or, you know, bruise or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's inside. It's in our soul. So let's review that about our souls, and that the soul and spirit are not the same. Okay. So we'll have Raymond read here in a minute, but let's talk about the three-part being. We are a spirit. I think these probably can start filling in number 9. Okay. Yes, baby. Okay. Oh, see, y'all have to keep me on track because I get so excited. Okay. So we will discover that soul wounds can certainly cause sickness and disease. We are wounded in our souls. That's the end of number 8. Let me read the entire number 8. All right. Where are we wounded? It's not in our spirit, because we are made perfect the instant we were born again. And it's not in our bodies, even though we will discover that soul wounds can certainly cause sickness and disease. But we are wounded in our souls when we're offended and hurt. It's our souls. It's our emotions, right? Yes. So let's review that. Let's go to number 9. We are a three-part being. We are a what?
Spirit.
And we have a what?
Soul.
And we live in a
body.
So unlike your spirit, which is born again, now your soul must be sanctified. That's that next line in there. Your soul must be sanctified over time as you become more like who?
Jesus.
Yes. Okay, Raymond, would you read Romans 12:2?
Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Uh-huh. So, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
Not your body or your spirit, right? Right. So, our soul consists of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And you can even add a couple like intellect. You know, it's where the decision-making process is and where you feel everything, okay? So the soul is progressively, that's your next line, the soul is progressively healed through the believer's walk with Christ. Do you know that you will be progressively healing your soul from the moment you are born again to the time you step over into glory? We will never arrive. Even the most outstanding preachers in that who live a pretty godly life, we think, from the outside, we don't ever know, do we? We take it by faith. They still have to deal with everyday life, being offended.
Remember Paul.
Exactly.
Paul wrote most of the New Testament. At the end of his life, he said he was the chief of sinners.
Yeah.
That's
and
how
that
he
was
felt.
Paul. That was Paul. So he had a soul, didn't he, that was wounded. And he had to deal with that daily, I'm sure. So do you ladies have any questions? Did you get all your blanks? Okay, tell me where you're at, because I want to make sure that they're filled in. Where are you at, Lynn?
On the second line of number 9.
Okay.
Born again.
Okay, your spirit, which is born again now, right? It's born again now. Your soul must be sanctified over time. Does everyone have all the other ones? And the next line, sanctified over time as you become more like Jesus. So I'll just continue reading. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not your body or your spirit. You know, I just think every time I read that scripture and I see that word transformed, I think of those transformers. They don't look a thing like they do in their first state. Isn't that correct? Praise Jesus. We have that hope to look forward to. I don't want to look like I looked when I got born again. Tomorrow and next week, I don't want to look like I look like today. It's a constant, continuing, God changed me. Change me, conform me to your image, God. Okay? All right, you have all the rest of that? All right, so let's work towards number 10. A wounded soul impacts everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
Everything. Everything. And when you get to sit under Michael in this teaching, you will learn how we believe the lies that the devil tells us when we get offended. And then that becomes truth to us. It's not really truth. I drove by Sarah today and she didn't even wave at me. She must be mad at me. That's not the truth. That's a lie the devil told me. And it puts up a defense then, doesn't it? So then the next time I see Sarah, I go, yes, exactly. Exactly. That is exactly what I mean by the cycle. We believe that lie that it wasn't true at all. We are too sensitive. We are too much a girl. But we're moved by our emotions instead of walking by faith. We're going to talk more about that in the next couple of weeks, too. Okay, but let's go back to number 10. A wounded soul impacts everything. A wounded soul affects every single area of your life. These wounds truly affect how you perceive everything around you. So it can cause you to think wrong thoughts. Was that a wrong thought that Sarah was mad at me? It was a wrong thought. It was a lie. It can cause you to make wrong decisions. Now, if you're in a bunch of unforgiveness, bitterness, and you're trying to make some important financial decisions, I strongly recommend that you delay that. Get well. You do not want to be making decisions when you have a wounded soul. Bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness to me are the biggies. You deal with that, the rest of them, excuse me, are kind of underneath that. You know, you could get into grief and so forth and so on, which we will at some time. But anyway, it can cause you to feel depressed, negative, something, let me look at that. Cause you to feel painful, negative, hurtful emotions, sorry. Cause you to feel painful, negative, hurtful emotions. Emotions such as, bitterness, resentment, yes. Can cause you to be hateful or spiteful. Imagine that. Us good little Christians. But how many of us say, and I can't believe she's a Christian. But they're saying that about us. Right? Bad attitudes. You just don't trust anybody. cause you to have bad attitudes and not able to trust anyone. A wounded soul can make you angry and unkind. And then, you know, when you don't deal with those things, it becomes your personality after a while. Become angry all the time. You're no fun to be around. You're negative about everything. Just becomes you. And in a spiritual way, it changes your DNA. So you can see it's a very serious thing that we really do deal with these things. All right? Now, let's go to number 11. Wounds in our souls are often responsible for adultery, divorce, church splits. I'll wait and let y'all catch up. Okay? Almost always, they would be responsible for either one of those. I mean, I couldn't imagine. Why would you get divorced if you didn't have wounds, soul wounds, right? All right, church splits and business failures. Those wounds cause more wounds. Then you feel like a failure. Then you feel guilt and shame. Do you see how one thing creates another thing that causes something else? And that's exactly the hamster wheel that the devil wants you to remain on. One bad emotion after another, you know, you have no joy, you have no peace. So why would anybody in the world want to be like you, for Pete's sakes? I mean, you say, I'm a Christian, come to church with me. Here, go, you know, to the healing school with me. But you're not a very good example of somebody. We just need to get healed. This is not for condemnation. I'm speaking to myself. Absolutely. It's to say, you're all here because you want to get well, I assume. So let's just get well. So let's go back to our question. Okay, those wounds cause more wounds. A wounded soul can cause cancer, virtually any disease. I'm just listing some. Viral infections. Countless other debilitating diseases. Many, many, like back problems. All sorts of things. Like, I mean, somehow, we've got a soul wound that probably needs to be healed. So the health of your soul can affect virtually every part of your life. Can affect and control. Can affect and control every part of your life. Now, Raymond, we're going to have him read Romans 7:20, and this is in the Amplified. I want you to see how profound this is.
Romans 7:20. Now, if I do what I do not desire to do, it is no longer I doing it. It is not myself that acts, but the sin which dwells within me, fixed and operating in my soul.
Operating where? In his soul. I mean, this is what Paul was saying, right? So, let's go to number 12. Even though the Apostle Paul's spirit was born again, say born again, say he was born again, his soul still had the effects of sin. And he's saying, I'm doing things I don't want to do because of the junk in my trunk. Right? So how many of us can relate to that? We just go, I didn't want to say that. I didn't mean to come across that way. But you got these soul wounds that then affect the way you respond the next time and the next time. And pretty soon it really is truth to you. You wouldn't purposely believe a lie, would you? The enemy comes subtly. He does not come knocking at your door and say, I'm here to give you a boatload of resentment. He comes very subtly. And it always comes from us being offended. We've got our feelings hurt. Now, we're not talking here whether we are justified or not. I cannot find that in the word anywhere that says, now, if you have justification to be offended, you don't have to forgive. Right? But we hold on to that as our pet. He treated me wrong. I have a right to feel bad. And you know what? That person maybe did do you wrong. But you know, at some point it's got to be between them and God. Okay? Let's move on before we get everybody mad. Okay. So, okay. So to put it today's vernacular, Paul is saying, I'm doing things I don't want to do because of the junk in my trunk, the things that his baggage. Think of a big old suitcase. You're carrying around that baggage. And I mean it so much it's spilling out all the time. It's every zipper and pocket is just overflowing with all kinds of negative emotions. Most of us aren't at the place where we can fill our suitcase up instead with the joy and the peace and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that ooze out like the negative emotions do. And that's a real indicator of how much of the world is in us. And it all comes out to relationship with Jesus. It really does. That's the only way that we can change. It is not willpower. It is not willpower. So we can't seem to control our behavior because of our wounded soul, right? And that takes over and makes us do things we don't want to do. Then we feel more shame and guilt, like we said. Things we know that are not pleasing to the Lord, they manifest many times in using bad language, losing our temper, treating our spouse badly, our co-workers. Some of us maybe brag and stretch the truth to make us seem more important because we have soul wounds that we were rejected at one time. So we got to make ourselves feel more important. See, so we got to learn to submit that to the cross, to the blood of Jesus. And we will do this in the next session particularly. So the question is, how does my soul become wounded? And there are two reasons, and we're going to go on. The first one is, we'll let Raymond read first, Psalm 41:4.
I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you.
He didn't say, heal my body, for I have sinned against you. He said, heal my soul. So let's look at 13. The sin we commit is one way our soul becomes wounded. When we commit a sin, that's one way that our soul becomes wounded. And we'll talk about how that happens here in a second. Okay, you got that? So we open the door to the enemy when we sin. We step out from the umbrella of protection, so to speak. I just have to tell a real quick little story. I was teaching little kids class one day years ago, and I wanted those little umbrellas, and I had to go to a liquor store to get them that go in the drinks. And I was just horrified. I was going, oh my God, everybody would know this little blue van, you know? I just was sure of it. And so I pull up to this store right there on a main, like Cedar Street, and the van dies. I never used that illustration again. I was too scared to go back. But I always think of the umbrella of protection, okay? It was kind of like, God was going, gotcha. No, he didn't care I was going there to get those, but it was me. I was embarrassed. Okay, so, and then the devil has, this is the last line, the devil has a legal right. I want you to say legal right to afflict us. We're not getting into this now. Somebody will at some time, I'm sure. But you know that everything that happens in the kingdom of God is on a legal system. There are courts in heaven, and we go before the judge. Jesus is our advocate. We go up there and present our petitions. You know, we get our verdict, which is the word of God. We present that to the judge, saying, but your word says, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Or you said you'd supply all of my needs and so forth. And by him rendering that verdict of his word, it activates the angels to go and bring to pass our petitions. It's much deeper than that, obviously. But if you think of it that way, everything in the kingdom of God must have a legal right. So when you sin and step out from under that umbrella of protection, you become free game. I also think of it like this. You know, when we're born again, we're covered with the blood of Jesus, right? And you know what? The devil can't even find us. If we are hid out in Christ, he can't even find us. And you know how he finds us? When we open our mouth. Right? Because we're going, oh, I'm so sick. Oh, God, I'm getting the flu. Or I don't know how in the world we're going to pay our bills. We're going to lose our house. So then goes, bingo. There they are, right there. So now he has a legal right to come and attack you. That's just kind of a sideline, a freebie thing. But you'll want to come back for all the lessons because we will get into all that. All right? So the devil has a what? Legal right to afflict us. Sin can literally wound us. Even though you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and his blood has cleansed you from all unrighteousness and brought you into the right relationship with God, there are still wounds in your soul that need to be healed. Now, there are ways, I mean, these are just examples. There are countless and countless examples of different kinds of sin, but committing adultery or fornication wounds the soul. Alcohol and drug use wounds the soul. Besides bringing in spirits, we got spirits of lust, but now we have spirits of pharmakeia and different things like that. Stealing or being dishonest, any of those things wound the soul because you're walking in sin and the devil has a what? Legal right. You know, but then we think, oh, those are bad sins. I've never done any of those. But maybe you've gossiped. And you know, or I will really meddle in your business and maybe you're a chronic overeater. See, we tend to categorize sin, but God doesn't. So don't be self-righteous. That's a sin too. Okay, so, can you say that we all have sin? We all sin. I mean, we just got to constantly, you know, be submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there will come a time that you should sin less and less, right? Yes, and you're becoming mature in the Lord and you're not becoming so sensual, okay? So any sin can leave a scar on your inner man. I would say all sin. I'm just pretty black and white. All sin. I can't imagine a sin that wouldn't leave a scar on your soul. So we don't have to consider just the big sins. But now here again, the key is going to the Father and asking him what he has to say. Maybe it's a current situation you're going to and you just sit there in your chair in your quiet time and say, okay, God, I need to hear you. I need to know what's going on. Obviously, it's just not everybody else. Maybe it's me. Right? Oh, you know. Now we're not talking here. Your salvation is not the issue. You understand? We're not talking about you whether you're going to make it to heaven or not. We're just talking about whether you're going to be more blessed while you're here on this earth. Walk in more freedom. All right? So we're not talking about eternal life. Now, this is so important because the sin causes a soul wound, so you really must get rid of it. We're going to let Raymond read John 14, verse 30 in the Amplified.
I will not speak with you much longer, for the ruler of the world, Satan, is coming, and he has no claim on me, no power over me, nor anything that he can use against me.
Wow, wouldn't that be wonderful if we can say that? And we should be able to come to the place that we are not giving the devil any reason. Or if we do, that we repent quickly. This isn't a hopeless situation. You just deal what God's telling you to deal with right now and repent quickly. So let's go to 14 and complete that. And Satan has no power on me, no power over me, nor anything that can be used against me. Okay? So one of the reasons why the enemy did not possess any power over Jesus is because he was without sin. Right? He was without sin. The devil couldn't use it against anything against him. Therefore, he had no wounds in his soul. Now, one of the reasons why the enemy did not possess power over Jesus was because he was without sin, had no soul wounds, but there was nothing in Jesus, again, that gave the enemy a what?
Legal
right. So let's, where is, four? Okay, that was the rest of 14. Let's go on to 15. If you desire dominion over the kingdom of darkness, if you really want to see some prayers answered, if you really want to stop going around the mountain over and over and over, I mean, you got mad, you treated somebody bad, you had terrible, you know, falling out, blah, blah, blah. You go, you have to eat crow, go repent and pray that the relationship can be restored. And then the next time, basically, you do the same thing, maybe with another person. And that happens over and over and over. That's what's called going around a mountain. You're not gaining any wisdom, and you're not going higher, and you're not letting some of that junk fall off so you can go to a higher level and not be so affected by your emotions. Okay? So, if you desire dominion over the kingdom of darkness, there must be nothing in your soul that is in common with Satan. Repent of any sin, and I would say repent quickly. Quickly as you know how to. All right, I mean, as soon as you go, oh my goodness. Now, that's why I think it's important every time you're prompted by the Holy Spirit to repent. Father, if there's anything in me, you know, that any sin in me that I'm not aware of, you know, bring it to my mind. If I need to repent or go apologize to somebody or whatever it is, learn to be really sensitive to the Holy Spirit and learn to do it quickly. All right? So if you desire, okay, in other words, don't give him a legal right, right? So get rid of sin. Everybody say that. Get rid of sin. Now, here's the deal. There's a second part to the sin thing. I call this 1B because sin, there's sin and there's something else, but there's two parts to sin. So let's talk about that. Your soul can be wounded. Your soul can also be wounded when, guess what? Other people sin against you. Isn't that where you get your feelings hurt? I mean, and you get, I mean, devastated, and I mean, there's unbelievable betrayal, maybe, whatever it is. Okay, sin against such as your spouse has maybe been unfaithful. Maybe someone has stolen from you. All kinds of different scenarios there. So once your soul has been wounded by sin, it needs healed. Okay? So there's two categories to sin. What was the first one we talked about? When you sin, right? Sin, you sin against yourself. And then the other one is when someone else sins against you. Is that correct? All right. Now, once your soul has been wounded by sin, remember that it literally needs healed. And the quicker that you can deal with that, it's good. There are a lot of soul wounds that take time. There are some things that take time. But if you constantly, every day, work on peeling the onion and let the Father heal you, where you can truly walk in forgiveness and forgive other people and so forth. It's a process. It's really not as simple. I mean, it can be. Sometimes it's much deeper than that. And it's a very hurtful situation that is devastating. And I understand that. I'm not trying to oversimplify things and not acknowledge the deep pain that people go through. But the important thing is get with the Father, okay? So let's go to 17. The second way your soul is wounded is by trauma. Everybody say that. Trauma. Trauma. such as a tragic accident. Might have been a tragic accident. Maybe you or some of your loved ones, somebody close to you. Might have been a death in the family. Or a very dear friend, right? Could come from a loss of a job. I mean, think of the sometimes the guilt or the failure people feel if they lose a job. I must not be good enough. What's wrong with me? Right? Okay, or a financial setback of some kind. Maybe the stock market took a nosedive. You lost everything you had. I mean, that's pretty traumatic, right? There you think, there goes your retirement. But God, right? Okay, a chronic illness. Chronic illness and a divorce can contribute to a wounded soul. Does anybody need me to go through that again? All right. Start at the beginning. The second way your soul is wounded is by trauma, such as a tragic accident, a death in the family, the loss of a job, or a financial setback. Or something as is very tragic as a chronic illness or a divorce. Anything like that can contribute to a wounded soul. Do you all have those? All right. Now, anyone who lives on the planet has lived through some kind of trauma. Which means, here again, we are all wounded to some extent. I remember 23 years ago when my sister died of cancer. She was 36 years old. And we were 15 months believing God for her. And she lived 15 months when they said maybe a month. It was an incredible, incredible, exhausting journey. We believed until the moment she absolutely died the second time that she would be healed. Now, if you don't think that there were soul wounds created by that tragedy, you're mistaken. And if it hadn't been for people like Sarah in my life, who literally came to my house late one night, I was having anxiety attacks, I questioned if I could even believe in God anymore. Because we believed God that she would be healed, raised, you know. Come as a testimony to his family and, you know, all of these things that we think we know so much about. Every one of us have experienced something like that. And it goes deep, doesn't it? It goes deep. We're ministering to people right now that chronic illness, very devastating, that it's very, very difficult on the family. We really need to be there for these people because it is very traumatic and causes soul wounds. So when your soul is wounded, all kinds of trouble can come into your life. Because number one, you're really not guarding your heart because you're so distracted by the hurt, by the grief. Do you understand? Then you're not watching your ear gates and eye gates and mouth gate and all that because you're so overcome with grief and different things that you let things slip. Of course, in those cases, it's very important to have mentors and you know, prayer group, life groups and things like that. People that are standing in the gap for you as you're recovering. Because it took me over a year before I thought I could live again. You know, I was either ready to trash it all, and it was either forget all of it or go ahead, you know, head first in it. And I told Sarah, I don't know how else to live, but all out for God. If I'm a fool, I'm a fool. But I'd rather be a fool and meet Jesus than give it all up. And I know that I know I couldn't do that. But you see, I do understand the deep trauma that people go through. And I'm not here to sugarcoat anything, but I'm here to say that I have dealt with that soul wound. I can look back on it as a memory, but it's not bitterness. and it's not deep grief. Do you understand? Some days I think about Sandy and I think, oh, I really miss her. She was so much fun. It was just really something. Left three small kids. She was homeschooling and different things. It was a kind of lung cancer that was very unusual for a white woman that was athletic and not overweight, nothing. You know, and so we had all these questions and things. But now I can look back and say, God, I just have to give it to you. If I never understand in this lifetime, it'll be okay. Because I know once I get there, it'll all be okay. Oh, she's having a great time. Playing cards with my dad. And I mean, all sorts of things. You know? But mostly she's sitting at the feet of Jesus, I believe. Okay. So let's look at, is it probably our last scripture? 3 John 2? Raymond?
3 John 2.
3 John 2, right?
I don't know. This says 2. Yeah. This is 1. This is 2.
Sorry.
Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers.
So this literally is the foundation of the entire series of soul wounds. Some people call them inner healing, whatever, you know. But this tells us that our soul must prosper before our bodies or our finances can prosper. So let's fill that in. This scripture tells us that our souls must prosper before our health and finances can prosper. So our health and finances prosper in direct relation to our soul prospering. So if you want to be in health in your body and you want to have finances or health in that, you need to work on your soul. Okay? So the condition of your soul can directly affect the health of your physical body. And I could further support this by showing in John 5, where the man at the pool of we don't have time. Yeah, there you go. But we don't have time tonight to do that. But suffice it to say that he had a wound in his soul for 38 years that was caused by sin. And we know that because Jesus said, stop sinning or something worse will happen to you. Yikes. See, he had given the devil a legal right. Somehow. We don't understand all that, right? We aren't given all that information. But in closing, let me review. We have just discussed that one way soul wounds is formed is by sin, right? And someone who has sinned against you, or you sinning against yourself, because that's what you do when you commit sin, right? And you alone are responsible for the repentance and receiving forgiveness. You could have sinned against yourself by sex or drugs, you know, any of these sorts of things, gossiping, we thought. And you know what? Even being judgmental towards people is a sin. And Michael talked about that a lot last night. And because these soul wounds are formed by sin, they give the demonic realm and the kingdom of darkness the what?
Legal right
to torment and afflict you. Their torment can manifest in physical and mental illnesses. You know, there are many things like bipolar, PTSD, I mean, all sorts of anxiety disorders and things like that are caused by soul wounds and torment. So next week we will discuss the two-step process to getting healed of soul wounds. And then at the end of it, which might be the third session, we'll go through some activation prayers and be healed in our soul wounds. Okay? Okay. Thank you. Yes.
On Genesis 4:5, let's think about the very first soul wound that's recorded.
Yes.
This is to me, it's led to Cain and to his offering.
Yes.
That Cain was very wrong.
Yes.
And his countenance fell.
That's right.
Now, do you believe the lie that his offering
absolutely
was acceptable?
Exactly right. Exactly.
Another time that his offering would be acceptable.
That's right.
He didn't believe that, and so therefore that sin led to killing.
That's exactly right. So the progression of an initial soul wound, It's incredible. That's very, very good. Such a good point. If anybody didn't hear, the first soul wound was in Cain and Abel, and Cain did not believe that his sacrifice offering was good enough, and he believed a lie from the devil. I mean, that's the devil talking to you, and then that eventually led to murder.
Yes.
At some other time, God said, your offering will be acceptable. And he was saying, don't get discouraged. Don't get, you know, hopeless or whatever. It, you know, I'll teach you how to do this. But it's when we believe those soul wounds, and then we feel justified in doing so. Yes. And so we have to be most careful that we don't harbor and hold on to and pet that soul wound of justification to be resentful and bitter. Okay? Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you so much, Gail and Raymond. That was so good. And it that goes so right along with some of the training that several of us have gone through called Transformation Prayer Ministry, where when we're wounded as children, we're picked on, we're bullied, we're told we're fat, ugly, we're, you know, a teacher has done something. So many ways that people can hurt us. And then what happens, but the devil's right there to tell us a lie. You're worthless. You're no good. You're stupid. You have no value. There must be something wrong with you, or they wouldn't do that to you, you know. You're a mistake. You shouldn't be here. The list goes on of the lies that he tells us. And then when we believe, we don't know that's the devil lying to us. We think it's our words. We think that's our thoughts and our words. And so then that's a place where we get a soul wound, and then we behave from then on out of that soul wound. And, you know, the Bible says that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But we're not knowing the truth. We're believing the lies that the enemy has told us. And so it takes hearing the truth and getting that. And what we do in the Transformation Prayer Ministry is try to help people figure out what are the lies they're believing and help them hear God speak truth. Because honestly, it takes God speaking the truth before you'll believe it. I could tell you all day long, of course you're beautiful, of course you're important, of course you have value, of course you're not a mistake. But, you know, it just doesn't seem to matter. But God speaking truth to you, oh my goodness. We believe him because we know he can't lie, and he's not just telling us that, you know, to make us feel better. It's the truth. And then we're set free. That's when true freedom comes. So, does anyone else have anything they want to say? Okay. Well, I think what we'll do now is just have our prayer team come up. And if anyone wants prayer, if you have some issues that you're hurting from, some wounds you've got from people who have betrayed you or wounded you or hurt you in any way, you know, let the prayer team pray for you guys. You want to come on up, guys? Hello. And at that, we, you know, just if you've got, like I say, if you've got something, come up and let these people pray for you. They're amazing, and they can help you.